You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin, this is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. For years and years, I have had the joy, the pleasure, and the honor of working side by side with the striker, Danielle Fairman, one of the toughest working, hardest hunting, frenzied fishingest, nastiest noodling women I've ever met. Danielle Fairman in the shotgun seat here on Raised in Wisco. What's up, Super D?
Fantastic intro. Makes me want to go noodling again.
Ooh. Yeah, well,
but it's August, so it's on the tail end.
It's kind of the tail end of noodling. Was that a fish joke?
It was.
Well, it was
tail end.
It was off the scales.
I get that was
punny, very punny.
Wow, back to back.
And of course, we have our in-house chef, which is really a benefit to all of us—not to my waistline, but chefferie official chef of Raised in Wisco, Ellie Lawton is here to bring us this week's recipe and generally chip in and tease me along with Danielle.
I'm just swimming along.
You're just swimming along. Oh, that was a dad joke, kind of, wasn't it?
Sure.
Well, hopefully the show doesn't go upstream from there.
Downstream
from there. Dave Sella's here. He spends a lot of time in the outdoors, and we're happy to have him. And Dave, we kind of teased you a little bit about the fact that you and Megan are an item. Show contributor Megan Salazar is here, foodie to the show, contributor to the show, and the media czar of Raised in Wisco, who works on all of our Facebook stuff. She's got some announcements to make this week about the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo. Very excited about that.
Megan. I do.
Yeah. We're talking about it.
We're going to remind everybody about the Waterfowl Hunters Expo.
Well, yeah, everyone should come.
It is a big deal.
August 22nd and 23rd.
August 22nd and 23rd.
We're all going to be there. Why aren't you there?
Megan Salazar is going to be there working at the Women's Zone. Danielle Fairman, come and check out these folks. Check out these celebrities from Raised in Wisco in the flesh. Bring along your autograph pens and pads. Because you're going to get to work with them on waterfowl hunting at the Hunters Expo. And something tells me you can ask them any other questions that you hear.
Whatever you want.
We
have a wine tasting, too.
There's Friday a wine
night.
Tasting.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I set up a wine tasting Friday night for the ladies.
That sounds fun.
I mean, wine and waterfowl.
I want to say that sounds great. The Waterfowl Hunters Expo really is something for everybody. If you have never waterfowl hunted before in your life, do not be afraid to go. People are extremely friendly. They will help you learn how to start. If you're an expert waterfowl hunter, this is a great place for you. The finest in technological advancements. Some of the decoys are unbelievable. I love to go there because I love every new gadget that has come out, and you'll see the new spinning wing stuff. There's dogs. We've got Bandit in the studio with us this week.
Yes. Yeah, you can take your four-legged friends.
You can take your four-legged friends along
with you. They can win prizes.
Yes, they can.
They can win prizes. That's right.
Fastest retriever.
Ooh, there you go. So don't be afraid to show up at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo. I'm telling you, even if you are not a hunter, there is something for you to do at the Waterfowl.
We have jewelry for the women, too.
And there's jewelry for the
Danielle,
women.
Danielle, will Bandit be making an appearance?
He absolutely will be there.
Perfect.
He's the security guard for the women's zone.
Oh, he's the best.
Well, I'm sure he does a fantastic job with that. We also have Dan Tim in the fishbowl with us here in Concord at WFSH.
Hello, hello.
Great to have you, Dan.
Good to be back.
I'm really excited about the show today because I want to talk about a subject that is often under talked about. Because when you say to somebody, "Are you a hunter?" there's a range, a gamut of what that means to people in Wisconsin. Are you a hunter? For some means they will go to deer camp during the gun deer season. They will play cards, drink old fashions, and they never put a gun in their hand. And that's That's great too. That's a great way to experience Wisconsin. But there are also hunters who start midsummer at obtaining land permissions. They're scouting full time already. They're following the patterns of the geese, which is the very first thing that you get to hunt in Wisconsin in the fall, except for coyotes, which you can hunt all year long. Mm-hmm. And the teal season. The teal season's coming up. I don't want to give away the cooking segment for it. I'm not giving it away.
You just did.
Jeez.
So I'm just excited.
You flew right into the cooking segment.
Oh, wow. Jeez, I'm trying to, now I'm just trying to duck all the insults. Look at that. I can't help it. I'm just really, Chef Lawton, I can't help it. I'm very excited about this recipe.
I guess I can't be
recipe.
Your wingman anymore.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Megan, yes.
But I want to talk about permissions. We're going to get into that. But first, let's do our weekly Wiscos for this week. I'm going to start out with my weekly Wisco, which is scouting. Because I think it really will lead into what we're talking about today, and that is getting permissions and having places to hunt when you are a hunter, which is incredibly important. And I'm going to say what I say to folks a lot, which is scouting is the hunting. The day you go is the harvesting time. That is the time you go out and you try to harvest, and scouting is actually the hunting. And there are actually statistics in Wisconsin's regulations that show the more you scout, the more successful you are as a hunter. If you scout two times, you more than double your chance of bagging your, statistically, of bagging the quarry you are after, which is fantastic. So Dan, I want to start and see, do you have a weekly Wisco you want to talk about this week?
Yeah, I want to talk about swimming.
Swimming?
Yeah.
Swimming.
The depths
swimming.
Of the summer, right? So some of these days are so warm that I feel like the only thing you could do outside that's comfortable is soak in some water.
So where do you like to swim?
So I am Jefferson County, and the nearest piece of public water that's beautiful is Lower Spring Lake in Palmyra.
Yes.
It's a free beach, and we were just there, my kid and I. Remarkably, you're just sitting in the water, and schools of bluegills surround you.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, it was
those
unbelievable.
Little buggers bite.
They nip a little bit.
I have little Audi freckles.
Yeah.
Those little buggers.
They want it.
They
I have never in my
time.
Life heard of an Audi freckle.
Yeah.
An Audi belly button.
I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah, just soaking in the water and trying to catch bluegills with your hands. It was a great time.
Oh, my gosh.
Danielle,
I love that.
I have to just say, you have a unique perspective of looking at everything. I have little Audi freckles.
Little Audi freckles.
Well, then you probably get nipped at a lot by the fish.
I do. I used to be terrified to go on the lake when I was a kid because they would always attack me.
And now you go in and you shove your hands in holes and
punch them in the face.
It's payback.
Put your hands right in a catfish's mouth.
It's payback. Danielle, what's your weekly Wisco?
My weekly Wisco was actually to go about this episode. Josh and I went up to his parents' place to go clear 6 acres of land for hunting season.
Ooh.
And I am ashamed. I was trying to text Josh, what is it called where, I don't even know. We'll just come back to it. Because we had to go up there to clear 6 acres so they could do, was it something to do with the taxes for the land for hunting?
Don't ask me.
A controlled land. I don't know.
Like managed
forest. Wait a minute.
We or CRP?
I don't know.
Have an expert here that area.
We'll come back to that.
We'll come back. Next segment. We'll talk about it.
Chef Lawton, what's your weekly Wisco?
I was also scouting, but I was scouting for blackberries.
Oh.
Because we are about to be in peak blackberry picking season. So I was
in the
kettles and scouting for that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love blackberries with a little one of the provider rubs dashed on top. I love that salty, sweet business.
So good.
And I have to tell you, growing up, I did not realize how many things there are in Wisconsin's wild that you can eat.
It's insane.
So much of the year.
Yes.
As soon as the frost is off, all the way to the end of fall, you can have natural wild mushrooms and berries.
When
and
I was in Montana,
leaf.
Wild huckleberries.
Yeah.
That was the greatest thing. At the side of the trail, just what you do here, but have the huckleberries.
My wife made jelly out of violets, wood violets.
Yes.
Wisconsin State flower wood violet jelly.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. It was incredible.
Really?
Yeah,
where did she pick them? Did
from the yard, right in the yard.
And my daughter Violet was named after the Wisconsin wood violet.
Oh,
so
that's
beautiful.
There
you go. That sounds delightful. Megan Salazar?
I just want to know how Danielle made it through the berries without finding bugs again this time.
Oh, I checked a lot.
Because I know she's like
definitely
afraid.
She had a bad experience with that.
The raspberries in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you got to give berries a good, quick, cool, cold water wash.
Yeah.
That's what I found. And
I sprinkle baking
most.
Soda on mine, too.
You
get
Do you
just carry baking soda with you in the woods?
Maybe. I'm not that.
Sometimes.
Chef
You've
Lawton
seen how I
does.
Travel.
This is true.
Yes. Oh, that's fantastic. I want to get into the... anybody else with their weekly Wiscos?
Yeah. All I did was harvest some eggplant and make some baba ganoush.
Oh, that's
all. That's wonderful.
That's all.
Yeah,
that's all
I stole the tahini from Ellie's refrigerator. So yeah.
Well, that sounds very good. Dave, sure did you get out this last week?
Oh, yeah. You got to get ready for deer hunting season right now. So you got to prune for your shooting lanes, get the pass cleaned up and everything, get your trail cameras out and get them along about, get all that stuff ready to go before the season.
Oh, man, that sounds like a great thing to do. There's a ton to do. I know I get antsy in the middle of summer. I get really antsy because there's no hunting season. But some of the fishing in this state is absolutely the best. We're starting to get those cooler evenings with the sunsets, and the fall sunsets in Wisconsin are incredible. So make sure you get out there and do that. I want to talk about a subject that I think a lot of people avoid. And that is asking permission on private lands. Now, I don't want to belittle the fact that Wisconsin's got some of the most amazing public land hunting in the country.
Yes.
Per capita, we've got more public hunting land than the vast majority of other states. And our public hunting land is fantastic. What always surprises me is the privilege of being able to hunt people's private land. It actually blows my mind how many farmers and people who own land are willing to say, yes, you may come with a firearm or a bow or a slingshot or whatever your firearm of choice is.
Atlatl.
If you're atlatl, if you're hunting out there with an atlatl.
Just imagine showing
Who's
up
Who's hunting
with
a slingshot?
I don't know. You probably can't even hunt with a slingshot. I don't know if you can. But for the amazing thing that we share our properties in Wisconsin with those who want to enjoy the outdoors is really something. But what I've learned through the years is there's really a trick. I don't want to say a trick to it. There's really a code to it. Is that a better way of putting it? There's a code to seeking permission, and there's a code to maintaining that permission. And that code is based on respect. I always tell everybody the number one rule for hunting, in my opinion, is keep the farmer happy. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how to do that, how to get land permissions, and what to do once you get them, because what you do after you get them is as important, if not more, than before you do. Plus, we're going to have an unbelievable cooking segment. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
If you are new to Raised in Wisco, welcome, welcome. This show talks about everything in the great outdoors of Wisconsin, from what to do, how to do it, what to take from our fantastic renewable resources around the state, how to put them on your plate, how to please your friends through food, camaraderie, hunting together, fishing together. I'd like to say kayaking together, but yes. I think that's kind of a solo sport, isn't it? Sideways banana.
Absolutely not.
No.
You can double kayak.
Well, good, you canoe. Don't have to double kayak, but Ellie and I went kayaking like 2 weeks ago when we were fine.
And you could tie your kayaks together.
We would have pulled you.
Just kayak
is that
two.
A thing, tying your kayaks together? Mm-hmm. How about like tying an inner tube to a kayak and then just getting pulled around the
That's
lake?
That's
fine. That Sarah wanted to do that.
You can fish from a kayak.
No, you can do everything from a kayak if you want to make it harder. Okay, thank
hey,
Dan
bad
didn't
attitudes
have the,
make everything
Dan,
harder,
Dan
too.
Dan didn't have the mic, but he was laughing for the record.
For the record, I also love kayaking.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't have a bad attitude.
They must be.
Kayakitude? I don't know. I tried too
hard. That's not horrible. I mean, it is a dad joke. Take your bad kayakitude out of here, pal. Hunting season's around the corner. And something that I have found is that there is a distinct difference in many hunters in Wisconsin. Some are not afraid to ask permissions to hunt private land. And Dan, Tim, you know, you are heavily involved in the archery industry in Wisconsin. You work in an archery outfitter. Your shirt says keep public lands in public hands. I think mm-hmm. That's a cool, moniker to have. But in reality, if you want to extend your hunting experiences, you got to have some access to some private lands. When you're following flocks of geese, when you're finding, rafters of turkeys, which is what a flock is called, which I think is cool.
That is cool.
You asking permission or not being afraid to ask permission or get permission is something that I think is integral in order to expanding your hunting opportunities. I want to start talking with our co-host Danielle about this one, because I know not many years ago, Danielle was not really about, you were kind of a little fearful to ask permissions.
Absolutely. It's weird. I was fearful to ask for waterfowl fields, for duck and for goose. But for deer hunting, no problem at all. But for goose,
it's usually the opposite.
It is usually opposite. But I always feel so bad that I'm, in my mindset, I was going to ask for permission on someone else's property that they worked hard for, that they earned, that they invested in it, that's their property, and I'm just going in there to use it. Like it was a guilty, like mm-hmm. I felt guilty for asking them.
Huh. See, what I've experienced was kind of the opposite of that, in that I think, and we can talk to Chef Lawton, who comes from a farm family, I think that for the very most part, farmers are very protective of the animals they own.
Yeah.
You know, the cows, the true. Sheep, yes. the pigs. But I think they see oftentimes an overabundance of wild game as somewhat of an enemy, because that wild game is eating their crops and taking profits out of their hands. And those predators who are overpopulating an area are damaging their livestock or their opportunities to keep healthy livestock. And in many cases, even the wild game, like I said, in overabundance becomes a problem for a farmer.
Yeah, I think it's, from what I've experienced, is it's a healthy mix of some farmers saying, hey, you know what? I'm just not cool with it. I like my land private, closed off to me, my family. A lot of the farm families, they hunt together on the property. And then there's a good portion of it that you have the farmers, like to your point, Joel, they see the critters coming in, whether it's coyotes, rabbits, waterfowl, passing through their property, taken away from their livestock or just their property. It's more maintenance to their property in general when you have these animals coming through. So it's helpful to a lot of these farmers. And a lot, from my experience, say, yeah, you know what? My family, they deer hunt here, but go ahead and goose hunt, duck hunt, come in the winter and coyote hunt. You know, they're so willing to open up their property. And I mean, personally, I'm so grateful for those farmers that do, because it's just a really beautiful experience.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think, and we're going to kind of get into some of the nuances of what to do when you have permission, how you maintain that permission. And of course, how a few bad apples can ruin it mm-hmm. for the hunting community. Mm-hmm. We've all had that experience.
Yeah.
Dan Tim works in the archery industry. you work, I mean, you are dealing with archery hunters and I'm sure firearm hunters as well.
In general.
All the time. What would you say is the breakdown of folks who hunt private versus public land in Wisconsin? Just anecdotally from your experience.
Somewhere near 50-50. Honestly, I think it may even skew heavier towards public land, just given the numbers in the hunting community. And like you mentioned it, where, you know, a lot of hunters are the deer camp hunters, and those might be public land hunters, but they count towards the numbers for 3 days out of the year,
right,
or whatever it might be. But right around a coin flip, I think, 50-50.
Yeah, and I think something that's interesting about that is you have some people who are literally afraid to ask, and we're going to talk about that and why I'm saying this, and I'm saying it to my own detriment, because the more people asking, the fewer fields I'm going to get permission on. But I also love proliferating new hunters and amateur hunters in Wisconsin. So this show's about sharing our secrets. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about some of the, what I do to make sure those farmers know I appreciate the privilege of getting on their land. And we have a very cool, awesome, apropos recipe for the upcoming waterfowl season from Chef Lawton. This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. The other host, Danielle Fairman, at my side.
Hello.
For nearly 20 years. Danielle.
Joel.
It's been a long time we've been working together.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That is a fact. Chef of the show, official chef of Raised in Wisco, Ellie Lawton, is here with us.
Hello.
How are you?
Just dandy.
Well, it's...
I'm Dandelion.
Dandelion, which we had an awesome recipe with.
We sure did.
Salad.
We have
that was good.
Fantastic recipe.
Is
this
it bad
week.
That I wish they grew all year round?
It's not to me. I always thought they were beautiful. Honestly, I always said if they were hard to grow, they'd cost $1 million because they are a very pretty flower. There's no doubt about it. Dan Tim, an expert in the archery industry. Dave Sella's with us. And of course, our resident contributor foodie Megan Salad Bar Salazar is joining us. She comes up with some pretty fantastic culinary creations. If I may, we had hot pot today before the show, which was absolutely incredible.
It was delicious.
It
that was easy.
Incredible.
With the wild boar and venison.
Well, that's one of the cool things about this show. We get to tell you how to do it easily. You don't have to, go through hoops to make some really fantastic food. We had thinly sliced venison. We had wild boar and we had lamb. And it was absolutely delicious.
Wonderful.
And you can kind of throw anything you want, boil
and
it up.
And we had sheep's head.
And we
so
had
you guys
sheep's
know.
Head. That's right. I loved it. It was fantastic. We're talking about getting permission in private land hunting versus public land hunting. And one of the things that I have noticed is that a lot of folks in Wisconsin hunt public land because they're just literally afraid to ask for permissions. Mm-hmm. So I want to go around. I want to go around the room and see what folks' kind of take is on that. Dave, do you hunt private or public land mostly?
I mostly hunt private.
And have you asked for permission?
I've asked for it once 20 years ago, and I've still been hunting that property since.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
See, so obviously you've done a great job maintaining that, Dan. How about you? Do you personally hunt private or public or both?
Both. I'll hunt both public and private. I'm fortunate enough to be in a similar position to Dave where asked for permission probably 15 years ago now, and it's just a killer spot. So
That's great. And yeah, we're talking whitetail hunting for you, too.
That's correct.
Whitetail hunting is, and I don't think this is a secret to anybody, whitetail hunting is the hardest permission to get in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. A lot of farmers who will allow you on for waterfowl. Now, I'm going to say, I am going to get in trouble for this statement, but I enjoy waterfowl and turkey hunting more than whitetail hunting.
Oh, so, I don't think that's bad.
Okay, well, don't, I agree. I know. I heard Dan go, ooh.
That's a hot take, Joel.
That is a hot take.
Whitetail is emotional in Wisconsin.
There's no doubt about it. It is a religion in Wisconsin like the Green Bay Packers, I will tell you that. But my take on it is that, number one, I like to talk too much. And you can talk while you're waterfowl hunting.
Are you sure?
Well,
really? Couldn't tell.
Thanks. You should talk, by the way, Chef Lawton.
I should talk.
I just like watching my dog.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I love watching the dogs work.
So I like watching the dogs work. So that's why I'd rather waterfowl and pheasant hunt.
Yeah, I love it. And I am not afraid to ask permissions. And I find landowners are more free to give permission to waterfowl and turkey hunters than they are to deer. Because in a lot of areas, a large rafter of turkeys can affect the whitetail patterns. And a large, you know, large groups of waterfowl in the field can affect whitetail patterns too. So you, I use that to my advantage in asking permission. Danielle, do you have a way you ask that you've kind of perfected, or how do you go about it? And how did you go from kind of being afraid to do it to commonly doing it?
The way I started doing it to feel more comfortable is writing down or a letter. Dear landowner, and my name, introduce myself, introduce Bandit, and tell them the reason why I'm hunting. And it also,
that was one of the first times I met Danielle.
Yes, it was.
You gave me a letter.
I gave you a letter. This is true. And then for me, the piece of result. How do you say
the piece de resistance?
There I go. I was going to say it the American way.
the piece of resistance.
It's to go in my work clothes. I feel so much better, and I feel like they respect me more in my work clothes.
And Danielle is a heavy equipment operator, so.
They might just be scared of you.
The bruiser from Bloomer.
She's going to bulldoze our house if we say no.
You don't pull up in the bulldozer, do you?
Yes. The big old
There's Danielle creeping down the road in the excavator. I would say yes.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I did it to you in the dump truck.
Yeah, you did.
That is hilarious. Hey, I think I'd be more likely to say yes to someone who came up in their work clothes and pulled a dump truck into my driveway.
Hey, I'm just passing through work, but you know, just in case, can I hunt here?
So how did you go from being afraid of doing it to comfortable with doing it?
Just like that. I talked to a couple farmers, and it happened to be the lady farmers, usually the elderly, and they just started talking my ear off, and I like talking just as much as you do. Oh, not just as much, but close to it.
Ouch. Wow.
And it just started happening, just started getting easier and easier, and I started accepting the no's instead of being terrified
yes.
of the
no's. Yeah.
I think something that happens to people, truly, is they get hurt, personally hurt, when they're told no.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that a farm, you know, property someone owns is precious to them, and you can't take that personally. You're never going to get to a yes. I always tell people, if you don't ask, the automatic answer is no. Mm-hmm. Chef Lawton, what's your style?
Well, I'm a sales gal.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right.
So I'll make you some food.
So like cold calling, knocking on doors, I actually get enjoyment out of that. I love to meet new people, talking to landowners about their property, how long they've been there, having them tell you the story is so fun to me. Even if you get a no at the end of the conversation, it's still really fun. And you get no's. I mean, I would say you get, what, 5 no's for every 6 to 10 yeses? Or opposite. Yeah. 10 no's every 5 yeses, I'd say. Yeah.
I think it depends on species, but I think you're right. I get more no's than yeses. And as soon as you become okay with that, then that yes feels so good. It will make your whole night. And I have to tell you, one of the things that I have found that farmers and landowners absolutely love, I will bring with me on the ask, sometimes on the initial ask, mm-hmm. or sometimes after an ask, I will bring a pot pie that mm-hmm. I make of the species I have asked them to hunt.
Yeah,
and I'll
awesome.
Say, and if they give me permission, sometimes they'll give you permission to hunt one time. Mm-hmm. And then if I hunt geese and I shoot some geese, I'll say, this was made from geese that I harvested when you allowed me to hunt. And kind of like what you were saying, Ellie, I find that the time I spend with farmers and people who toil this land in order to produce for the masses are such intriguing, good people that my life is better for having known them and experiencing them. I have had conversations hours long for people who eventually say, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with somebody with a firearm. And I've left that conversation with very often a new friend mm-hmm. and definitely every time more knowledge and understanding and education about what farming in Wisconsin is like. That information actually is kind of a seat for you to build the theater around your next ask, because when you talk to the next farmer, you're going to have more of an understanding of what their life is like. And that, to me, is a pretty cool thing. So I would encourage folks, if they're afraid to knock on that door, do not be afraid, and don't be afraid of the no. And if you want to start with an easier ask, ask to hunt turkeys ask to hunt some waterfowl, because turkeys in massive, massive groups can do some real damage. And you know what? I don't know anybody who'd ever say no if you went and said, can I hunt raccoons on your property?
Yeah. Joel, to your point, I think everybody anticipates that the no is going to be an aggressive, like scary, like, get the heck off my property. No, like, why would you even ask me that? It's hardly ever like that.
Yeah,
you
in will 10 occasion- years, I only had one that was very yeah, aggressive.
Yes. And you know what? It's their property. They can be aggressive yep. if they want, right?
Yep.
But to your point, too, take something along. I usually take, like, jams that I've made in the summer or something fresh baked to give to them and just hang out. Learn about them. Learn about their property. And the good thing is, even if they say no, I've had it where they're like, you know what? I don't really allow hunting on my property, but my buddy down the road, he's yes. totally open to it. So get out there. I mean, it's networking. It's understanding our farmers, showing an appreciation for their land and for all their hard work.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, you need to walk in there anticipating a no, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come out with a yes, then game on. Like,
yeah.
And if you don't ask, it's always a no.
It's always going to be a no. So you just expect a no. And if you get a yes, then you're even better off. And maybe you'll gain some knowledge otherwise, or you'll find something else. And it doesn't matter.
So. I want to add one more thing, too. Don't go the week before hunting opens.
Yes. That is a key.
Jeez.
That
if you
is
want to get
key.
An aggressive no, go the week before, go the day before, and go in your hunting clothes. Jeez, do not do that. You should be going in the summer if you're looking for fall. You should be going in the winter if you're looking for spring. I mean, go early and go back a couple more times before hunting starts to drop them off, you know, a small gift or a baked good or something.
I think Ellie May made an excellent point in always network. And that's something mm-hmm. my grandfather yeah. told me was always network and never burn bridges.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because it might not be, you know, that person that you talk to, but they may know somebody. And I would also encourage folks to dig into their own networks.
Right.
The people that are close to them that know them and understand them. And they may be able to make an introduction for you. And mm-hmm. that warm introduction is much easier than the cold calling or knocking on doors.
And also having the connection to the neighboring property. If you shoot a deer or a turkey or a goose and it goes on that property, to already have that established connection to knock on the door and say, yes. hey, I was at the neighbor's house. I shot a deer. Can I walk across your field to look for it? It's setting you up for success no matter what.
I'm telling you what, I have gotten permission so many times from getting permission from a farmer. I will stop at the nearby, the neighboring properties and say, I just want to let you know they gave me permission. Mm-hmm. So you might hear some shooting at 6 a.m, 5 a.m. And how many times they'll say, oh gosh, well, if you want to hunt here, you can hunt here too.
Yeah.
And then you're building bonus properties. I'm going to ask a real quick shotgun answer that really probably could be an entire show. I would like the women on the on our panel today to answer this. Is there a difference in asking for permission or getting permission if you are a man versus a woman?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 100%.
You think so? What is that difference?
We're less intimidating when we walk up to that door. Like, they think that we're either doing it because we're providing for our family or we're getting into hunting and we don't have any clue. Otherwise, they want to provide us that opportunity, whereas guys come off as intimidating and they think like, oh, you're just here to shoot a big buck.
Oh, wow. This is good stuff. Man, yeah. I love this show. You can learn and listen. That's for sure. I can't wait for cooking because that means eating Chef Lawton and her creation. Up next on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Raised in Wisco is the place. Danielle Fairman is Hello. In the hot seat next to me. My name is Joel Clayfish. Every week you can hear us along with our chef, our exclusive chef of Raised in Wisco, Ellie Lawton. And we, every week, honest to God, my mouth waters and I get excited even though I'm full. I don't know how it happens, but we talk cooking every week. We like to bring you easy ways to take field and forage to table recipes, make them for your family and friends. We do everything from appetizers to main courses to drinks to desserts.
Dips and
you
sauces.
You name it, dips, sauces, or a couple of dips telling
Sometimes
you about
we're dippy.
Dips. We're dippy-do. But this week, I mean, really, blink, and the waterfowl season is upon us. Yes. September 1st, it opens. Goose and early teal. And Chef Lawton, I'm jacked because we have a recipe that is perfect for the beginning of waterfowl season.
Yes. So today we are talking about teal. So like Joel said, early teal is starting September 1st. I believe it goes until the 9th. Teal is wonderful. Does that everybody here like eating it? Because it's
the best. It's the best.
So it's a pretty mild and delicate flavor. The only time you're going to run into kind of, I'll say a gamier or teal that kind of almost tastes like a mild liver, if you will, is if you overcook it. So don't overcook it. Teal should always be cooked to rare or medium rare. So between that, about 125 to 130 degrees internal temperature. So don't cook it over that. That's
okay.
That's the best.
And, you know, I think a lot of people ask me, is it safe to eat duck medium rare
yes.
versus chicken, you know, which you can't, you got to cook all the way through.
Certainly
but
is.
When you're talking about a lot of wild game, even avian species or bird species, you can do that with,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Duck is beautiful at a rare to medium rare. And again, go online, look up the internal cooking temps. But for the teal we're talking about today, 130 is going to be the sweet spot. So we're talking about pan-seared teal. Very, very easy. You're going to get some teal breasts. You can also just roast the teal whole, so you don't have to waste it, of course. You need some butter. You will need a little bit of chicken stock, dry red wine, and then we're going to put some of our blackberry preserves on it because we're picking blackberries in a couple weeks here.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, so get your pan hot, put some melted butter in it, sear the breasts on both sides, remove them from the pan, and then you're going to deglaze that pan with a little chicken stock and dry red wine. Put a heaping tablespoon of the blackberry preserves in it. You can throw some fresh blackberries in there too. They'll cook down really nicely.
When you say deglaze, explain exactly that process, because I've heard you use that before, and I think I know what it means, but I'm not exactly sure.
So when you're, in this recipe, you're pan searing the duck breast on a hot pan with butter. So you know how like some of the, maybe a little bit of the skin or the butter will kind of caramelize onto the pan?
Sure.
So when that pan is hot, you're going to add the red wine or chicken stock, beef stock.
Right to the butter that's still in there.
Yeah, you're going to add it to that pan while it's hot, and it's going to sizzle. And what you want to do is I use a wooden spoon, and I kind of scrape the bottom of that pan because it's going to release all that good crusty, not burnt on, but stuck on bacon grease or butter or little pieces of the poultry skin if you have it in there, and it makes a beautiful, beautiful pan sauce. I know Megan's probably over there drooling. She has something to add.
It's called the frond.
What?
You want to deglaze the frond.
Deglaze the frond.
So that's
Listen to that. You're going to get the official chef, French chef terms too.
Hey, so in Wisconsin, we'll say you're just going to remove the trash off the pan, but the trash is actually gold to us culinarians, that's for sure.
Perfect.
So you're going to reduce that down. So reduce that down. You're going to cook the alcohol out of the wine if you're using it. If you're not using wine, that's fine. You're going to cook that chicken stock down until it makes a nice kind of, it won't get very thick, but you'll see it kind of thicken up a little bit. You can, of course, thicken it with cornstarch if you want to make a thicker sauce. And then you're going to just plate it and eat it. It's so wonderful.
And drizzle it right over the top and away you go.
Oh,
huh?
It's wonderful. So you have the teal breast, the blackberry preserves, and that nice pan sauce. And it's super easy.
So good.
Yeah.
It really
Megan,
does.
Megan, what do you got over there? Dave, control
if
that.
If you want to add a little sugar to it, you can, and reduce it more.
You
to
can.
Make like a better glaze and sauce.
Yeah, so then it'll kind of turn from a sauce to a glaze and actually get a little bit thicker so it coats the protein that you're putting it on.
Here's a question that I have. For those who aren't have access to teal or didn't succeed with teal, can you do this with goose, or is goose a little too tough? Can you do it with pheasant?
You can do it with whatever you want. I do it with bear all the time.
Yeah, and also if you're not a hunter, go to the grocery store. There is duck in almost every grocery store now.
Okay.
Go get yourself some farm-raised duck. It is
a
beautiful protein. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah,
it has
so
more fat on it. It has a nice thicker skin, so you get that nice crispy skin when you pan fry it. Yeah, do it.
Oh my gosh, that sounds unbelievable. I love the fact that we do recipes every week and we talk about food and field forage to table. Raised in Wisco can be heard on every station throughout Wisconsin that Civic Media operates. That's 23 of them, all the way from Harvard all the way down to Racine and everywhere in between, Wausau, Green Bay, Waukesha. Please give us a listen. If this is your first time listening to Raised in Wisco, thank you so much for coming along. We laugh, we educate, we learn. We have some fantastic guests on the show. Really want to thank Dan Tim, the archery expert, for being along with us
this
week.
Thank
you, Joel. Appreciate it. Dave Sella, Megan Salazar, contributor to the show. My co-host, Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
Chef Ellie Lawton. I'm Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.